A reading from Luke 12. I'm speaking to you as dear friends. Don't be bluffed into silence or insincerity by the threats of religious bullies. True, they can kill you, but then what can they do? There's nothing that they can do to your soul or your core being. Save your fear for God, who holds your entire life, body and soul, in his hands. What's the price of two or three pet canaries? Some loose change, right? But God never overlooks a single one, and he pays even greater attention to you, down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. So don't be intimidated by all this bully talk. You're worth more than a million canaries. Stand up for me among the people you meet, and the Son of Man will stand up for you before all God's angels. But if you pretend you don't know me, do you think I'll defend you before God's angels? If you badmouth the Son of God out of misunderstanding or ignorance, that can be overlooked. But if you knowingly attack God himself, taking aim at the Holy Spirit, that won't be overlooked. When they drag you into their meeting places or into police courts and before judges, don't worry about defending yourself, what you'll say or how you'll say it. The right words will be there. The Holy Spirit will give you the right words when the time comes. May God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding.
Thank you. say a special thank you to William, who wrote that piece, for sharing with us. So today we're coming to the end of our CrossFlix sermon series. We've been on quite a journey over the last couple of months through a variety of different movies, each with a different message for us, as we examined where those secular stories have intersected with our faith lives. The last movie in this series was my pick, and I'm really excited, was Love, Simon. This is a mainstream-style teenage rom-com, which uses every single cliche in the book. It's a simple love story, a tale of teenage angst with a very predictable ending. And yet it was groundbreaking, one of the first mainstream movies ever to openly tell a gay love story. The movie starts with Simon introducing himself to us.
I'm just like you. For the most part, my life is totally normal. My dad was the annoyingly handsome quarterback who married the hot valedictorian. And no, they didn't peak in high school. I have a sister I actually like, not that I'd ever tell her that. And last year, in 200 episodes of Chopped ago, she decided she wanted to be a chef, which means we're pretty much all her test subjects now. And then there's my friends. Two of them I've known since pretty much the beginning of time, or at least kindergarten. One of them I just met a few months ago, but it feels like I've known her forever. We do everything friends do. We drink way too much iced coffee, watch bad 90s movies, and hang out at Waffle House dreaming of college and gorging on carbs. So, like I said, I'm just like you. I have a totally, perfectly normal life.
As Simon tells us of himself, he is just like us. He has a normal family, normal friends, and a normal life. But there is a problem. Simon has a secret, a huge secret. Simon is gay and has not told anyone, and is worried that if he comes out, his world would be turned upside down. But then a fellow student on the school's message board, Creek Secrets, outs himself in an anonymous blog post using the alias Blue. And Simon takes this as an opportunity to start a correspondence with him. Blue writes about being afraid to come out as gay. Simon reaches out privately using his own alias, Jacques. The two start a correspondence, hesitant at first and then increasing in intensity. But the identity of Blue is the cliffhanger of Love, Simon. There are a few possible candidates, and as Simon drifts from one to the other, wondering, are you Blue? Are you? It could be any of them. As the two grow to care more and more about each other, their relationship blossoms, and they become a great support to one another on their respective journeys. This allows Simon to be able to say to a stranger the things he's been feeling for years. But when their messages fall into the wrong hands, Simon risks the rest of the world finding out his secret before he's ready to share it. At one point, as he's writing to Blue, Simon wonders, why is it only queer people who are required to come out? Why shouldn't straight people have to declare their sexuality also?
Dear Blue, so one of my friends likes the other, and he has no idea. I guess we all have secrets. Anyway, I've been thinking about why I haven't come out yet. Maybe it's because it doesn't seem fair that only gay people have to come out. Why is straight the default?
I have something I need to tell you.
Mom, there's something I have to tell you.
Can we talk?
Yeah.
I'm straight.
I'm straight. I'm sorry, Mom. It's true.
I like girls.
I like men.
You get that from your dad, is that?
I'm in love with Nick.
I feel like I've been raising a stranger.
Yes, absolutely. You have.
I'm heterosexual.
Oh, God, help me, Jesus, please.
Maybe it's because I can't be sure this whole being gay thing is forever. Or maybe it's that there's not that much of high school left, and part of me wants to hold on to who I've always been, just a little longer. And then, when I go to college in Los Angeles, I'll be gay and proud, I promise. Not sure who I'm promising. I'll keep ruminating. Love, Jacques.
Because that's exactly what it's like to live in Los Angeles, right? One day, people, one day. It's a great clip and it made me laugh, but it also kind of has a point. Why do we even have to come out? There has been so much progress, even in my lifetime. So many changes which so many of us have fought for, and that's great. But we still have a long way to go. And of course, coming out is not a one-off thing. I must come out to different people I encounter, either through my work or in my personal life, at least once a week. It does get easier over time, but it doesn't get any less frustrating or annoying that we keep on having to do it. I joined a meetup group a few weeks ago. I'm trying to meet people near where I live and develop a more active social life after 3 years of complete social isolation while in school. The group was described as a discussion group for lesbians of a certain age. I'm not saying what that is. They meet in a coffee shop and talk about current events or anything else which comes up. Things went well. There was 5 or 6 other women there, and we all chatted for over an hour. It was such a relief to be with people who were like me and who I didn't have to come out to. But things changed very quickly after they asked me what I did for a living. As soon as I told them I was a pastor, the whole atmosphere changed. There was an awkward silence. No one would look at me. And eventually, one of the women said, "Oh, okay. Well, 3 of us here are Jewish." It was one of the worst and most awkward coming out moments I have ever experienced, and it wasn't about my sexuality. Luckily, Simon's coming out experience was much better, particularly from his mother, who gave him the most wonderful, loving, and caring response that I have ever heard.
Sorry.
Hey.
Have you seen it?
Seen what?
Creek Secrets. You need to look at your computer right away.
Dear fellow Creekwood students, Simon Spear has a secret male pen pal because he's gay. Interested parties may contact him directly to discuss arrangements for butt sex. Ladies need not apply. We should all probably be talking about this instead of Martin Addison's homecoming debacle. Which was actually kind of sweet. And romantic, if you think about it. Sincerely, Anonymous.
Sorry. Sai, have you read it?
I can't talk right now.
No, Sai, wait.
I gotta go.
Sai, I saw it. I already reported it. You're gonna take it down.
It's too late. No, people have already seen it, so it doesn't really matter. It's true. I'm gay.
Oh, so what are you gonna do?
I don't know.
You could deny it.
Why the hell would I deny it, Nora? I'm not ashamed of it.
Oh, you've just never really said anything.
So what? What does it have to do with anything? What the hell are you talking about?
I know you're going off the grid and you won't see this until you're back, but something's happened. You're gonna find out who I am. And someone posted our emails. Please don't freak out. Please, Blue. I need you to promise me you won't disappear.
Yes. You got somebody pregnant. No, you're pregnant.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah, I'm pregnant.
I knew it. And he's got that glow about him, babe.
No, I'm gay.
Honey.
And I don't want you guys to think anything different. I'm still me.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Simon.
So you're gay. Which one of your old girlfriends turned you? Was it the one with the big eyebrow or
Jesus
the one with the
Christ,
braces?
Can you ever shut the hell up?
I'm kidding.
It's not
I'm
funny.
Kidding. Hey, Nora, just open up your gift, please.
Did you know?
I knew you had a secret. I mean, when you were little, you were so carefree. But these last few years, more and more, it's almost like I could feel you holding your breath. I wanted to ask you about it, but I didn't want to pry. Well, maybe I made a mistake.
No. No, Mom. You didn't make a mistake.
Being gay is your thing. There are parts of it you have to go through alone. I hate that. As soon as you came out, you said, Mom, I'm still me. I need you to hear this. You are still you, Simon. You are still the same son who I love to tease and who your father depends on for just about everything. And you're the same brother who always compliments his sister on her food, even when it sucks. But you get to exhale now, Simon. You get to be more you than you have been in a very long time. You deserve everything you want.
so much grace and love from his mom and so much truth in what she said. Now you can exhale. That's certainly a feeling we can relate to, that holding of one's breath until you have seen the reaction the other person is going to give you. At a conference I was at last week, I was paired with a music director from a church in Sacramento. We got talking, introducing ourselves and sharing answers to questions posed by the presenter. Enrico didn't come out to me directly, because that's a bit of a risky thing to do at a National United Methodist Church event right now. He mentioned one of his non-work-related activities was singing with the gay men's choir. He said it quickly, moving on fast to the next item. Luckily, he was talking to me, and he probably thought it was a pretty safe bet between my hair and my Love Wins bag. But I also met a group of people from Oklahoma who had overheard our conversation one evening and asked if they could join us, thrilled that they were getting to talk to some people who actually shared the same theology as them. One of them, an associate pastor in a large conservative church, told me about a young transgender boy, Alex, who 7 years old had just transitioned and was ostracized by his church. They refused to use his new name or the pronouns he wanted to be identified by. 7 years old. The family left the church. This pastor is now launching a second site and hoping it to be a more inclusive environment. Alex's mother reached out and asked him if the new location would be loving and affirming. The pastor could only respond that all of the family would be well loved, unable to use the word affirming as it would result in him being brought up on charges by the conference in which he served. The special called General Conference next February will make some vital decisions on the church's stance on human sexuality. And the church chat group have decided to take one day each month and devote it to fasting and prayer for the outcome of the conference. Join us on the last Saturday of each month as we meet for brunch to break our fast and share our experiences. We also have a great opportunity to act as good role models, just like Simon's mother, with the LGBT Center here today talking about their LifeWorks program and the important and useful service it provides for youth at the center. We have many people right here in this room who would make great and valuable mentors for some of those young people, and I encourage you to stay, listen, and sign up to take part. In the scripture we heard today, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he tells them not to fear anything other than God. Look how much God loves even the tiniest sparrows, which are of so little worth, just pennies. If they are so loved by God, then imagine the magnitude of love God has for us as followers of Jesus. In fact, God is so faithful and attentive to us that even on the hairs on our head are numbered. And because of this amazing love, we should never be uncertain or doubtful as to the value of our lives or anyone else's in the eyes of God. But the next verses are the ones that are important to us as followers of Jesus Christ, as he goes on to warn the disciples that if they deny knowing him, they are giving in to the fear of men. And they should not be afraid. It is at these times of crisis when we need to rely on the Holy Spirit and draw strength and guidance. So we have to come out as Christians. And this, my friends, is where us queer folk have a distinct advantage over all you heterosexuals. We've seen those faces which go blank when we come out. We've dealt with the awkward silences, the ridiculous questions, the anger, sadness, disappointment, and rejection, and hopefully sometimes some love and grace. And after we've done it a few times, it becomes less scary, is easier to deal with, and we become more expert at judging what to say, when to say it, and which words to use. But Cody J. Sanders suggests that instead of using the phrase coming out, we instead say, inviting in. Inviting in is a far gentler, deeper description of a process where we share a deep, intimate part of ourselves and request others to appreciate with us something we hold inside, revealing something of ourselves, but sharing it with others we feel should be honored in such a way. Luke warns those who believe that persecution may be expected from humans because of their faith, but that they should prepare for this with the resolve to confess Jesus open and publicly, and to rely on and trust in the power of God through the Holy Spirit to lead them into what to say in that moment. We will be sustained throughout these times by God. When we let go and let God, relying on the strength from the Holy Spirit, we have more courage to face others who may judge or condemn us for what we are and how we identify. Rather than being afraid of those people or of the pressures of the society in which we live, we need to be more concerned with God's judgment on us and how we live our lives. The great news is that because our identities are so tied up with God, they are inaccessible to the rest of the world. Just as our sexuality is part of our identity, so is being Christian. And we should never be ashamed or afraid to claim either identity or to invite others in to that wonderful, amazing, and glorious intimacy that is such an integral part of our world. Amen.